in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Nature Conservancy, working across oceans and isles to cut carbon emissions, protect lands and waters, and support local communities for a future where people and nature thrive. Nature.org/solutions.
From the University of Kansas, we are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg Junction City. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Mostly sunny skies and hot temperatures continue this evening. It's 92 in Lawrence, 95 in Manhattan, 91 degrees in Overland Park. This is KPR.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. Online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
We've got more All Things Considered coming up, including a judge in New Mexico has dismissed the involuntary manslaughter trial of actor Alec Baldwin. We'll hear that story from Mandalit Del Barco coming up on All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio. Stay with us following All Things Considered for Film Music Friday on KPR1. It's a perfectly monstrous evening of music. Music from classic monster movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Wolfman, The Bride of Frankenstein, and lots more. Turn out the lights and tune in for Film Music Friday tonight from 7 to 9 on KPR 1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stay with us for Snap Judgment coming up following All Things Considered. Mostly clear tonight with warm temperatures. Lows only getting down to around 77 degrees overnight. A hot one for tomorrow as well, with high temperatures expected in the mid-90s for tomorrow and Sunday. We do have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight tonight and tomorrow morning. It's 89 degrees in Atchison, 93 in Emporia, 91 in Lawrence, 92 in Topeka. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Nature Conservancy.
Hopelessness and despair.
I'm Scott Detrow. We take a trip to Colorado and hear one patient's story on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 5 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. It's a great way to keep up to date on the weekend. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org. We've got another half hour of All Things Considered coming up. The latest news from NPR, followed by Kansas and regional news. The time is 6:30. This is Kansas Public Radio.
At 11 p.m. For NPR News, I'm Ann Davis in Las Vegas.
This is NPR.
From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and his wife Brittany are expecting their third child. KCTV reports that the couple made the announcement on social media this morning. The Mahomes have two children, Sterling Sky, born in 2021, and Patrick Bronze, born in 2022. Flags in Emporia and throughout Lyon County are flying at half staff today. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly issued an executive order directing the move in honor of longtime Emporia City Commissioner and former Mayor Danny Gaffer, who died July 6th of cancer. Funeral services were held this morning. Family and friends are mourning the death of one of America's greatest astronauts, Kansas-born Joe Engel. We get more from Jay Schaefer.
Joe Engel became the youngest pilot ever to qualify as an astronaut,
Born in Dickinson County, Kansas in 1932, he graduated from KU with a degree in aeronautical engineering and then became a test pilot for the Air Force. Engel is the only man to pilot both the X-15 hypersonic rocket plane and the space shuttle. A green highway sign on I-70 reminds motorists that Chapman, Kansas is Engel's hometown. He died Thursday in Houston at the age of 91. I'm Jay Schaefer.
A federal judge has ruled that Dodge City's local election system does not violate the rights of its Latino residents. Daniel Cottle has this report.
The judge ruled Dodge City's practice of electing its five city commissioners at large does not block candidates backed by Latino voters from holding office. A lawsuit from two Latino residents alleged the practice violates federal anti-discrimination laws. They argued each commissioner should be elected from a separate district for better representation. In his ruling, U.S. District Judge Eric Melgren said candidates backed by the highest percentages of Latino voters won at least half the time in the past decade. Nearly two-thirds of the city's 27,000 residents are Latino. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill at the Statehouse.
No injuries were reported when a school bus carrying a Kansas high school football team caught fire today. KWCH reports that the bus was carrying players and coaches from Marion High School on their way home from the Kansas Wesleyan football camp in Salina when it caught fire at a rest stop on Interstate 135 north of McPherson. The superintendent of USD 408 of Marion Florence said all 35 people on board the bus were quickly evacuated and another bus was sent to pick up the team. Sunny and warm, or rather clear skies and warm this evening. We've got a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight tonight. Lows around 77 tonight. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow. Hot temperatures in store with highs in the mid-90s.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.
Stand the world.
What does this ceasefire proposal say?
And sometimes, annoying Jerry Seinfeld.
Are you seriously asking that?
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Join us for Morning Edition Monday morning from 5 to 9 o'clock. Your hosts on Monday will be Stephen Skeep, Sasha Pfeiffer, and Jay Schaefer. Good afternoon. I'm Kay McIntyre. Glad to be with you on this Friday evening. Filling in for Laura Lorson. She's taking a couple days off. She'll be back on Monday. Coming up on All Things Considered, it's been a busy week for new music. We'll hear from NPR's music team for New Music Friday, just ahead on All Things Considered. Here at Kansas Public Radio, we have our own music team, and on Friday nights, that includes Daryl Brogdon. Stay with us for Film Music Friday coming up. Tonight, it's music from monster movies. We'll hear themes from The Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, Bride of Frankenstein, and much more. Film Music Fridays coming up in just 10 minutes. On KPR 1. And if you're joining us on KPR 2, stay with us for Snap Judgment coming up at 7 o'clock.
Support for KPR comes from I2S at KU, addressing the social impacts of emerging technologies and how to be human in a technologically complex age. More information at i2s-research.ku.edu.
Clear skies and warm temperatures staying with us. 91 degrees here in Lawrence, 92 in Topeka. This is KPR.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm
Progressive Insurance. Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. From Procter & Gamble, maker of Z-Quil Pure Z's Gummies, designed with melatonin for occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep naturally. Learn more at zquil.com. And from BritBox, dedicated to helping people discover British crime series, including new seasons of Silent Witness, Blue Lights, and The Responder, starring Martin Freeman. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. This is NPR.
So Morning Edition from NPR News can't transport you to the beach this summer, but we can keep you company through all your summer adventures and keep you informed. Listen weekdays.
Join us for Morning Edition Monday morning from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. Your hosts on Monday, Sasha Pfeiffer, Stephen Skeep, and Jay Schaefer. Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre. Glad to be with you on this Friday evening for All Things Considered. Hope you'll join me tomorrow morning for Weekend Edition Saturday from 7 to 10 o'clock with Scott Simon here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Tell your smart speaker to play KPR.
Everyone can leave a gift to KPR through their will. It's an inspired way to support an organization that's enriched your life and that of others in your community. Learn more about leaving a legacy gift to KPR at kansaspublicradio.org.
Coming up next here on Kansas Public Radio, it's the latest news from NPR, followed by Film Music Friday with Daryl Brogdon. We'll hear themes from The Bride of Frankenstein, The Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and other monster movies. That's just ahead here on Kansas Public Radio. Clear skies this evening, warm temperatures overnight with lows only getting down to around 77 degrees. Sunny and hot tomorrow with highs in the mid-90s. It's 90 degrees in Lawrence, 91 in Topeka. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Former President Donald Trump has named a handful of finalists in his search for a running mate. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump compared the selection process to his old TV show, The Apprentice.
Speaking on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, the former president said he had narrowed down his list to four or five people. Trump named Senators Marco Rubio of Florida, J.D. Vance of Ohio, and Tim Scott of South Carolina as strong candidates. He also mentioned North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
It's like a highly sophisticated version of The Apprentice.
Trump said he'd prefer to make his announcement in the middle of the Republican National Convention, but it'd likely be earlier. He needs to make the announcement before the Republican National Committee holds a roll call vote to officially nominate the running mate, Franco Ordonez. NPR News.
Even as some Democratic lawmakers are expressing concerns about President Biden remaining in the race, there's no indication he is leaving. An energized Biden in Michigan tonight continued to make his case. He's the nominee best positioned to beat Donald Trump in November and saying he is staying in the race. More than 20 House lawmakers have called on Biden to withdraw from the presidential race amid concerns about his mental acuity. Head of the UN agency that aids Palestinians says there was a strong message of solidarity and support at a pledging conference in New York, but NPR's Michelle Kelman says the U.S., once the biggest donor, won't be resuming funding anytime soon.
16 donors cut off aid to UNRWA following Israeli allegations that some U.N. staffers in Gaza took part in Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel. UNRWA's chief, Philippe Lazzarini, says he's now convinced most to resume funding.
I'm happy to say that at the exception of the United States, who cannot resume before March 2025 because of legislative constraint, all the other countries are back.
And he says UNRWA has enough money now to keep schools, clinics, and aid operations afloat through September in Gaza and the West Bank and in Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News.
The FAA is investigating the apparent failure of a rocket from the commercial company SpaceX, NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports.
The Falcon 9 was carrying 20 Starlink Internet satellites when it launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California on Thursday. Video of the launch showed dense fog at the time of liftoff. The launch appeared to go smoothly, but ice was visible on the rocket's second stage. SpaceX later said that second stage failed. The FAA says the Falcon 9 will remain grounded until the investigation is complete. Falcon 9 is the workhorse of the company. In addition to launching satellites, it carries tourists to orbit and NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 247 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR and the Tiny Desk Contest comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. Capital One is proud to support NPR Music and the Tiny Desk Contest. Capital One, what's in your wallet? From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 12th. It would take a couple of hours to fly from Chesapeake Bay on the coast of Virginia to the forest and swamps of eastern Texas. But about 35 million years ago, some brownish-green bits of glass made the trip in just minutes, the result of a massive collision between Earth and a space rock. The rock was an asteroid or comet and was perhaps 2 or 3 miles in diameter. It slammed into the coastline at tens of thousands of miles per hour. The impact gouged a crater about 50 miles across and a mile deep, which later became Chesapeake Bay. The collision vaporized the space rock and some of the ground it hit. It also blasted millions of tons of water, mud, and granite high into the sky. The heat of the impact melted sand and some of the other debris. Molten droplets blasted through the air at thousands of miles per hour. As they cooled, they fell to Earth as pieces of glass known as tektites. A major field of them has been found in Georgia. Another is in Texas. Its tektites are known as Betazites. They're named for a small town, which took the name from a native tribe that inhabited the region long ago. The first Betazites were discovered in 1936. The largest is nicknamed the Star of Sabine for the location where it was found. It weighs about 7 ounces, a large chunk of colored glass that crossed half a continent in a hurry. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County, in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
That's music for House of Frankenstein, 1944, the first of Universal Pictures' so-called monster rallies, where the motto seemed to be, if one monster is good for box office, then four or five would be great. The music for this film was composed by Hans Salter, who spent most of his working life writing music for Universal Films, and Paul Dessau, a free-thinking German communist who had fled the Nazis and spent a brief time in Hollywood. Welcome to KPR's Film Music Friday, where we celebrate the music of the movies every week. And tonight, gather the kiddos close, because we're taking a deep dive into the music of monster movies. We'll sample music for classics like The Bride of Frankenstein, The Wolfman, and The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Some horrors come straight out of space, and we'll hear from them as well tonight. What is it about being frightened that we enjoy? Is it like the thrill of riding a roller coaster, or is it something deeper? Research tells us that watching scary movies provides a counterbalance to our daily stress. It may also be an effective way to undermine anxiety and even bolster our resilience. Well, tonight, we shall try not to scare you too much, at least no more than is absolutely necessary. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and you're invited to join us now for the music of monsters we've known and loved on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Here's some of the finest music ever written for a monster movie, or any movie. It's by Franz Waxman for The Bride of Frankenstein, the inevitable sequel to the 1932 classic, which arrived in theaters 3 years later. Waxman created three distinctive themes for this picture, one for the monster, one for the bride, and one for the evil Dr. Pretorius. We heard the music performed there by the Westminster Philharmonic, led by Kenneth Alwyn, on KPR's Film Music Friday. Still to come, music for a mad laboratory scene and big giant bugs, too.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Next, from 1941, comes more music by Hans Salter, this time teamed with Frank Skinner, and themes they created for The Wolfman, one of the finest of the Universal horror films. This movie had the misfortune to be released immediately after Pearl Harbor, but despite that, it went on to become a big hit and launched the career of Lon Chaney Jr. as a monster movie actor. Hans Salters is a name you'll hear a lot on tonight's show. He spent much of his career writing music at Universal Pictures, often teamed with Frank Skinner. The two men had wildly different backgrounds. Salter was a Vienna-trained composer who'd studied with Alban Berg and Franz Schrecker, while Frank Skinner had been a vaudeville pianist and later an arranger for dance bands. But these two guys formed a very happy partnership during their years at Universal, and their score for The Wolfman is one of the reasons the film continues to be so popular. So here are several cues from that film, including the main theme, the music of Hans Salter and Frank Skinner, on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Music from The Wolfman, 1941, by Hans Salter and Frank Skinner, two composers who collaborated on many films at Universal Pictures well into the 1950s. Tonight, on KPR's Film Music Friday, we call it Monsters We've Known and Loved, and we especially love their music. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and coming up, the creature features of the 1940s give way to Atomic Age horrors in the form of giant bugs. Hey, speaking of monster movies, that's what we've got for you 1 week from tonight. In fact, it's like a night at Red Lobster gone horribly wrong. 1 week from tonight at Liberty Hall, it's KPR's next Cinema A Go-Go, and we've got two Roger Corman specials, Attack of the Crab Monsters, in which monster crabs chow down on slow-moving humans, and Swamp Women, which is just what the title says. It's at 7 p.m. Friday, July 19th. That's a week from tonight at Liberty Hall. Details at kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. And you can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's more by composer Hans Salter on KPR's Film Music Friday, this time for a 1942 Universal thriller called Man-Made Monster. This was another vehicle for Lon Chaney Jr., which a mad scientist played by the wonderful Lionel Atwill uses electricity to turn him into a rampaging monster whose touch can kill. This may be the wildest music ever written for a mad laboratory. The thing about many of these Universal Pictures horror films is that over the years, a lot of these themes turned up in movies again and again. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and this is Film Music Friday, KPR's weekly celebration of music from movies. And tonight, the music is monstrous, let's face it.
Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
By the early 1950s, the familiar monsters of old had given way to the atomic age. Now the monsters were often from outer space, or when they were creatures of Earth, they were made gigantic by atomic radiation. Case in point, the movie Them from 1954. This is widely considered to be the best of the giant monster movies of the 1950s. Now that might seem like faint praise, but monsters aside, this really is a terrific film. More of a police procedural than a sci-fi thriller. All about giant ants created in the New Mexico desert following A-bomb tests. The music for Them is by Bronisław Kaper, a Polish composer who had spent the early part of his career writing music for the theater. In the mid-30s, he came to the States to work for MGM, and his first American film was the Marx Brothers' A Day at the Races. Now, MGM made very few science fiction pictures, so it might seem a little odd that this fellow was loaned out to Warner Brothers for Them. But if this music's any indication, Bronisław Kaper didn't consider this a step down. In fact, it was a tremendous opportunity to try something new. Here's music for Them on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
Music by Bronislav Kaper for the movie Them, the film about giant ants, 1954, from Warner Brothers, here on KPR. As a composer at MGM, Bronislav Kaper rarely got the chance to write music for a film like this. In fact, it's the only sci-fi film he ever scored. This is Film Music Friday at 8:01. We'll pause for news from NPR, and there's lots more ahead as we bring you music from monsters we've known and loved on Kansas Public Radio.
Francisco Lindor of the New York Mets is one of the biggest stars in baseball, but says fans rarely see some of the most important performers.
Clubbies, to me, are the hardworking guys in the organization. They're here before everybody, and they're here after everybody, so it's easy to play baseball compared to what they do.
What do clubbies do? And how does the pitch clock make it harder? Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Join Scott Simon and Kay McIntyre for Weekend Edition Saturday. It's tomorrow morning from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. It's a minute past 8 o'clock and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. A seemingly re-energized President Joe Biden spoke before an enthusiastic crowd in Detroit, Michigan tonight, again saying, "I am running and we are going to win." And notwithstanding calls for him to withdraw from the race, even from some within his own party, the president made it clear where he stands.
I'm the nominee. I'm the nominee of this party because 14 million Democrats like you voted for me in the primaries. You made me the nominee, no one else, not the press, not the pundits, not the insiders, not donors. You, the voters, you decided, no one else, and I'm not going anywhere.
Biden again said he is the only Democrat to have ever beaten Donald Trump, despite fears from some lawmakers he could lose in November. Biden also laid out what he intends to do in his first 100 days in office if reelected. The president said he would restore Roe v. Wade, protect the Affordable Care Act, and ban assault weapons. Former President Trump is trying to get his New York criminal conviction vacated. As NPR's Amanda Bastillo reports, Trump's lawyers are hoping a recent Supreme Court decision clears him of criminal charges.
Trump's lawyers have filed a motion to vacate his 34 felony convictions of falsifying business records following the U.S. Supreme Court's decision that presidents have broad immunity from prosecution. They argue that certain testimony and evidence shouldn't have been introduced at trial, including that of former White House employees Hope Hicks and Madeleine Westerhout. In their filings, his lawyers also include social media posts that prosecutors used from when Trump was president and other items from Trump's time in the Oval Office. Trump was originally going to be sentenced this month after a jury found him guilty. His new sentencing is scheduled for September. Ximena Bustillo, NPR News, New York.
Most Americans support protecting access to in vitro fertilization, or IVF. That's according to a new AP NORC survey. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin has more.
6 in 10 people surveyed said they favor protecting access to IVF, which involves creating embryos in a lab and is used by infertile and gay people to have children. A much smaller group, only 10% overall, opposed protecting access. Over 1,000 people across the country were surveyed online and by phone in June. There was a big political divide on whether respondents agreed with the statement, quote, "Human life begins at conception, so a fertilized egg is a person with the same rights as a pregnant woman." 60% of Republicans agreed at least somewhat with the statement. 70% of Democrats disagreed. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Wireless carrier AT&T is confirming a major data breach. The company is saying data of nearly all its customers was downloaded to a platform. AT&T says the breach affects its cellular customers, customers of mobile virtual networks using the company's wireless network, and landline customers. AT&T has around 90 million cell phone users. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday is Kansas Public Radio. That's the tense and unnerving main theme for Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956, music by Carmen Dragon, beginning this hour of KPR's Film Music Friday. This was a movie in which the studio had very little confidence. In fact, it sat on the shelf for 10 months before they released it, and it went on to become a big hit, and today is considered a classic of its kind. Carmen Dragon was better known as a conductor, although he'd already written several movie scores. In fact, he won an Oscar for his first, Cover Girl, in 1944. As it turned out, Invasion of the Body Snatchers was his last film score. After that, he devoted himself entirely to conducting and his recording career. Tonight on Film Music Friday, it's music from monsters we've known and loved. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thank you kindly for joining us here on KPR. Still to come, we'll visit the Black Lagoon, more specifically the creature that lives therein, and there's music for the blob. A UFO crashes in the Arctic. A group of scientists and military men recover the pilot of the alien ship and then mistakenly thaw him out. From there, it's a nerve-wracking game of cat and mouse as the good guys chase and are chased by the alien, who, by the way, feeds on human blood. In a nutshell, that's the story of The Thing from Another World, produced in 1951 by Howard Hawks. The movie kind of created the blueprint for the Alien Invader movie, of which there were many still to come in the next 15 years. The music for The Thing was by Dmitri Tiomkin, one of Hollywood's great composers, but one who was known more for creating popular melodies than for scoring an invasion from outer space. However, Tiomkin's music is first rate, and because you don't see the thing for a while in this movie, the music goes a long way toward creating a super creepy atmosphere. This is Dmitri Tiomkin, The Thing from Another World, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
music from 1951 and The Thing from Another World, composed by Dmitri Tiomkin and featuring that electronic instrument known as the theremin, which has graced many a movie score since. This is Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio, and I'm Darryl Brogdon. Tonight, music from monsters we've known and loved. Later in the hour, music for The Prince of Darkness and King Kong vs. Godzilla. How could we leave them out? Now here's a movie around which swirls a lot of confusion, at least when it comes to the music. Creature from the Black Lagoon was an enormous hit in 1954 and is considered the last of the great Universal monster movies. The only music credit in this film is to Joseph Gershenson for musical direction. He was the head of Universal Music at the time. However, there were five, count them, five composers who contributed to this film in one way or another. And here they are: Herman Stein, Henry Mancini, Hans Salter, Milton Rosen, and Emmett Dolan. And sorting out who wrote what is kind of a chore, made even more difficult by the fact that some of these tunes turned up in later Universal movies too. So let's not worry about who wrote what. Let's just hear music for The Creature from the Black Lagoon on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
That's music for The Creature from the Black Lagoon on KPR's Film Music Friday. Trying to sort out who wrote what in this film is not for the faint-hearted, but fortunately others have taken on that task, and they've been able to nail down the names of Herman Stein, Henry Mancini, Milton Rosen, Hans Salter, and Emmett Dolan, each of whom contributed in some way to the score. Stein, Mancini, and Salter probably wrote the most. Over half the film's score was written especially for this film, while the other cues were recycled from previous Universal Pictures. This is Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Ralph Carmichael's music for The Blob is up ahead. Mind where you step. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library summer events, including Blockbuster Wednesdays in June and July, with kid-friendly performances including a magician, science, and more. Three different performance times every Wednesday. Details at tscpl.org. Film Music Friday's here every week at this time on KPR stations, and you can also hear the show on demand at kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Music, and you'll find it there. If you use the free KPR app, stream the show to your smartphone. We're in the on-demand section. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City. From 1958, that's the main title for The Fly, composed by Paul Sautel and Bert Schefter, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Sautel and Schefter were another of those rare film composing teams. They partnered up in the late 1950s and provided music for movies like Ambush at Cimarron Pass, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and The Big Circus, among others. Coming up, music for one of the epic monster movie slugfests, King Kong vs. Godzilla.
You know, it has been said that sound bites and political ads determine elections. Well, on Kansas Public Radio, you hear more than just sound bites. You get to hear the background and the context, thoughtful reporting, analysis, and insightful commentary. KPR provides the information you use to decide how to cast your ballot. Go to kansaspublicradio.org to pledge your support for the news that you depend on.
Also from 1958, let's hear something now from The Blob, a film that starred Steve McQueen and was shot in Pennsylvania, produced by a maverick film distributor in a small studio that previously had only made religious pictures. This is one of a seemingly endless string of monster movies in the late 1950s, but this one has held on to a measure of fame over the years. The story, of course, is about a gooey alien creature that runs. Well, he doesn't run. I guess he oozes around, absorbing unsuspecting humans left and right until Steve McQueen and his pals managed to save the day. Here's music for The Blob, composed by Ralph Carmichael on Kansas Public Radio. Ralph Carmichael's atmospheric music for The Blob, 1958, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Carmichael had come out of the world of Christian music, but the success of this film led to other assignments, including other movies as well as TV shows like Bonanza and My Mother the Car. This is Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Glad you're able to join us. There's news from NPR at 9:01, followed by Jazz in the Night. Well, next, let's hear from at least one of the Hammer horror films. Hammer was a British studio that began in the mid-30s, but was best known for its gothic horror pictures, including films about Frankenstein, Dracula, and the Mummy, all in blood-dripping color, from the late 1950s into the 70s. One of the regular composers at Hammer Films was James Bernard, who scored their first sci-fi film, the classic Quatermass Experiment, in 1953. He was known for the use of clashing harmonies in films like Dracula, Prince of Darkness, Plague of the Zombies, Hound of the Baskervilles, and dozens more. Here's an example of one of James Bernard's more romantic scores for a Hammer horror film. It's music from Taste the Blood of Dracula on KPR.
Thank you.
Music by James Bernard from Taste the Blood of Dracula, 1970, one of the great horror thrillers from Hammer Films, and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. James Bernard wrote the scores for dozens of Hammer films from the 1950s into the 70s. Stay tuned for news from National Public Radio at 9:01 tonight, and Bob McWilliams has Jazz in the Night immediately following the latest news. I'm Daryl Brogdon, inviting you to join me here every Friday night at this time for more music from the movies. You'll find Film Music Friday online at kansaspublicradio.org. Just click on Music and look for Film Music Friday and Shows on Demand. You can also stream the show right to your smartphone using the free KPR app, which is available wherever you get your apps. Well, we've heard from a lot of monsters tonight, but we can't leave without at least a nod to the Japanese monster movies of the 60s. A lot of us of a certain age were probably introduced to these films with King Kong vs. Godzilla in the early 1960s, just one of the many kaiju films made by Toho Studios. The composer on many of these was Akira Ifukube, who as a young man had ambitions to become a composer of classical music. Instead, he became known mostly as the man who brought music and soul to the king of the monsters, Godzilla. Here's the theme music now for King Kong vs. Godzilla, 1962, on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Come on. Recently on Wait Wait, musician Christian McBride talked about being a celebrity.
Well, I always say being a famous jazz bass player is being like a famous plumber. Because I might not get invited to the party, but you need me.
I'm Peter Sagal. Consider us the rhythm section that makes the week's news danceable. Join us for this week's Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is tomorrow morning at 10, right after Weekend Edition on KPR. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, or better yet, just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Nearly 9:01, the news is just ahead from NPR, followed by Jazz in the Night. Support for news on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Facing pressure to drop out of the race for president following a rough debate performance 2 weeks ago, Joe Biden held a campaign rally in Detroit this evening. As Ross McNamara from member station WDET reports, the president remained defiant against some members of his own party.
A day after a highly scrutinized press conference at the conclusion of the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., the president was back on the campaign trail in front of a raucous crowd in a high school gymnasium. President Biden was animated, seemed to feed off of the crowd's energy, and insisted he's staying in the race.
I am running, and we're going to win.
Taking on Donald Trump directly at points, Biden also focused on his agenda for the first 100 days of a potential second term, which he says will include initiatives to protect abortion access and voting rights. For NPR News, I'm Russ McNamara in Detroit.
Actor Alec Baldwin will not be going to prison for the accidental shooting of a cinematographer in his film Rust. New Mexico judge today dismissing his involuntary manslaughter trial. More from NPR's Mandalito Barco.
The judge said prosecutors suppressed some new evidence as Alec Baldwin's attorneys tried to prove the actor was not responsible for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Baldwin's team argued they were not shown a collection of ammunition that was turned in after the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, was convicted for involuntary manslaughter. The special prosecutor said she and officials did not think those bullets were from the same batch as the fatal bullet. But Judge Mary Marlowe Summer sided with Baldwin's side, saying it was wrong to not include that evidence in his case.
Your motion to dismiss with prejudice is granted.
She ruled that Alec Baldwin cannot be charged again for the shooting. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
The European Union has charged Elon Musk's X with violating the bloc's new regulations for social media platforms. As NPR's Bobby Allen explains, Musk can face a hefty financial penalty from EU authorities.
EU regulators say when Elon Musk relaunched Twitter's blue check verifications, he created a deceptive system that misled users into believing what was authentic and what was not. Musk's social media site, which he's rebranded X, must comply with the EU's Digital Services Act, a set of rules to make social media safer and more transparent. Regulators in Brussels have accused Musk of letting disinformation and illegal hate speech run rampant on the platform. In response, Musk has been defiant. He wrote on X that the European Commission wanted to force the site to censor speech to avoid fines. He vowed to fight the EU charge. If upheld, the EU can fine Musk up to 6% of X's global annual revenue. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Stocks rallied to close out the trading week on Wall Street. The Dow is up 247 points to close above 40,000 today. The Nasdaq rose 115 points. You're listening to NPR News in Washington. Some of the country's biggest banks are weighing in with their latest quarterly earnings numbers, which seem to show some slowdown in spending on the part of consumers. J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo say they saw adjusted profits fall, while Citigroup says it saw sluggish spending on credit cards. While the major banks initially saw higher profits on their loans as a result of rising interest rates, consumers have been moving cash out of low-interest-bearing accounts to money market accounts and other higher-paying interest options. Some consumers are also using credit cards less, which is cutting into banks' profits. A new study suggests artificial intelligence may be able to help individuals write better stories. But as NPR's Jeff Bromfield tells us, it also appears to decrease creativity.
Researchers asked nearly 300 people to write a short 8-sentence story. Some were allowed to use AI to generate ideas, while others had to write from scratch. Overall, the AI-assisted stories were found to be more creative. Anil Doshi with University College London helped lead the study.
Those who were the least inherently creative experienced the largest improvement in their creativity.
But the researchers also found that collectively the AI stories were all more similar to each other. The findings suggest that if AI becomes a common tool, it could cause net creativity to drop, even if some individuals benefit. The work appears in the journal Science Advances. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
Crude oil futures prices lost ground today. Oil was down 41 cents a barrel to end the session at $82.21 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Angie, dedicated to helping homeowners find skilled pros to get their home projects done well. From everyday repairs to major remodels. Reviews, pricing, and booking are at Angie.com or on the Angie app. This is NPR.
The band's called Something Else, featuring alto saxophonist Vincent Herring, and they're playing the Herbie Hancock tune from the early 60s called Driftin', the album called Soul Jazz, with the new one from tenor saxophonist Eric Alexander and from a few years ago singer Veronica Swift on the way. Something Else in the Soul Jazz album with a great band, along with Vincent Herring, our trumpeter Jeremy Pelt and tenor saxophonist Wayne Escoffrey, guitarist Paul Ballenbach, pianist Dave Kakoski, Essiet, and Otis Brown, the third bass and drums. Eric Alexander's new one is called Timing Is Everything, working with Rick Germanson at the piano, Alexander Claffey and Jason Tiemann bass and drums, and a tune by Ross on Roland Kirk called Serenade to a Cuckoo, which includes special guest on flute Jed Paredes. Here's Eric Alexander on Kansas Public Radio.